Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus.
Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, your grace to us in the days to come. We know that you'll preserve your saints through these things that are coming. And that's why this series we're sharing is Preserved from the Beast 22. Amen. So let's look at it, saints. We're going to start off with Jesus is coming. Hop into the boat. This was given to Adriana Santoro, 9/24/21. And it's pretty cool. I dreamed I was with my mom by a wharf. And we were waiting for a boat to dock. I was freaking out because I knew that it was the end of the world. Well, Adriana's mom, I believe, represents the original church and the original gospel, which we've heard from the beginning. And the boat represents the Psalm 91 refuge in Christ. Our secret place of the Most High, our ark of safety, right? And the end of the world is the end of this age, because quite often world and age are actually the same. And when the seven-year tribulation storms begin, and it's the end of the world as we know it, of course, things change drastically. These are just ahead. And she went on to say, it was just us two standing there, and I was asking her, why, Mom? Is this really it? She said, yes. He, that is Jesus, is coming. Just hop onto the boat. And shortly after she said this, a medium-sized wooden boat appeared, and my mother asked me to hop in. And Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. It's kind of like the ark, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We walked into the second deck, and I can only remember looking out of this little porthole window, which was above the water. Sounds kind of like the ark, doesn't it? The second deck is where the spiritual man abides in heavenly places in Christ. When we abide in Christ, our strong tower, by faith, then we walk above the curses of this world and judgment. Psalm 91:8 says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Amen. She said, I cannot tell you why we walked onto the second deck, but there was not one other person on this boat. And I think this is because Adriana and her mom represent a corporate body of believers, which are many. I don't even recall seeing a captain, she said. Well, the captain is our Heavenly Father, who is invisible to us, but He is sovereign and in complete control of the ark and the storm. All I can remember at that point was being in fear, and then I woke up. And she has in parenthesis, I hadn't understood God properly back when I had this dream, but I feel differently now that I understand His promises for His elect better. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord. Well, get in the ark, saints. Get in the ark. You will be preserved. And the ark, of course, is Jesus, right? And this next revelation we call Taking Back the Media. A shaking storm of the serpent is coming. And this was given to William Steenland on 11/20/21. I had a short dream that the entire internet was completely censored from all non-deep state controlled alternative media news sources. Well, the communist deep state has done this to conservatives, and now the military is planning to run the Starlink satellite system and will have the only news soon. They will cut out the deep state mainstream media just like they did to us. And the military is taking out the deep state satellites. In other words, when you get something like this, remember to pray against the things which they are doing and pray them down, right? They say it will be safe on the new internet, which is coming up now as we speak. There'll be no dark net or porno, etc., and many other things, you know. We need to pray against what Bill saw and for the alliance's success. And so thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that you will deliver this internet over into better hands in the name of Jesus. So in the second dream, I was just waking up and I spoke in my sleep saying, "Massive hurricane, East Coast." I woke up immediately and thought how silly it was to dream of a hurricane warning because it's so late in the year. Well, we do have them this late. It does happen, and it can be made to happen, and so on. You know, but maybe the hurricane is symbolic, too. The etymology of the word hurricane means shaking of the serpent. How about that? Well, in our own thoughts here, I thought, according to Act for Libraries, there were two possible origins of the word hurricane. And according to one source, the word hurricane is derived from the Spanish word huracán, the origin of which is the Caribbean term for God of Evil. Other sources, however, postulate that the word is derived from the name of the Mayan storm god, Hurricane, which is spelled H-U-R-A-K-A-N. And according to the Popolva, which recounts the Mayan creation story, Hurricane, from the Mayan word, is the ancient Mayan weather god of wind, storm, and fire. Hurricane is the one-legged and one of the three creator deities collectively called the Heart of Heaven that participate. Now, you don't have to believe all this. I'm just telling you what where the word came from, okay? That the participants in three attempts at creating humanity, first from mud and then wood, then final and successful creation resulted in the creation of mankind from maize. Oh yeah, you don't have to believe that either. But anyway, their creation story also reveals that Hurricane caused the great flood after the first humans angered the gods. And according to the myth, he lived in the windy mists above the floodwaters and repeatedly called forth the earth until land came up from beneath the seas. His one-legged appearance refers to one of his legs having been transformed into a snake. His appearance features a snout-like nose, resembles that of the Aztec god Now, don't get me wrong on this. It's Tezcatlipoca, something like that. Hurricane can also be spelled hurricane and hurricane and hurricane with a C and with a K. So that sounds pretty reasonable. And they love to do stuff with their false gods, you know, make names and so on and so forth, you know. That's the way of the world. Anyway, that's a spiritual form of hurricane, yeah. And that kind of leads right into this next revelation, the fast approaching storm. And grid down causes a great falling away. And this was given to Marie Kelton, 12/22/20. I had a dream that Vanessa and I were in all white classroom like the ones from when I was in college. The classroom represents that we have been in training for the times to come. This is true. We've been going through our schooling, getting prepared for these things, and this storm too. And she went on to say there was a big virtual map that Vanessa was looking at on the whiteboard because a windstorm was coming. It was showing the wind patterns all over the world. Well, we know that an economic storm and a plague storm and a political storm from the deep state is in play now all over the world. So I know we haven't seen the end of this, so it's still coming. The fact the president just said recently, the storm is upon us. And the vice president said the same thing, right? I'm talking about the real president. Anyway, Vanessa was trying to figure out what was going to happen in our area, which was in the northern part of Africa by Egypt and Israel. And, of course, we know that we are spiritual Israel, currently enslaved to Egypt as a type of America and the Babylonish world system. And we're about to be set free by Cyrus to go through the wilderness to the promised land, right? Kind of joining these all together. Anyway, Vanessa couldn't figure out how to reverse the progress of the storm. So I reversed the progress of the storm on the map by hitting an undo button so it would go back to where it would show us what would happen now instead of in the future, because the progress of the storm on the map was moving too fast. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our job. We should be in intercessory prayer that will undo or hinder the progress of the enemy's plans against us. And sad to say, a lot of people have gone to sleep according to the rest of this revelation I'm going to share with you and need to wake up now and start praying. Okay, so the present wind movement wasn't that bad on the map now, but it picked up and got worse in our area as time went on. Well, you know, Trump has said in the past, the storm is upon us, and now it's getting a little worse. Okay. Then David said that the windstorm would cause the power grid to go down, and that many in UBM local and larger would be tested with the idea of being lost or reprobated. He said it's because that's what Satan does and that God would use it to see who would fall away. In other words, you get tempted by the devil. Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, right? Everybody's going to have it before they begin their ministry, just like Jesus did, right? This temptation, this trial. So we have a spiritual power grid of the promises to us in the Word of God, as well as a power grid in the natural. And many are already falling away because of these tests or discouragement, doubt, and unbelief caused by the mainstream media's disinformation, as well as Satan's fiery darts of disinformation, as well as what we shared last time about the witchcraft coming from the factions, Both of them are working witchcraft against God's people. Yeah. I knew it was because we could no longer get the teachings and broadcast due to the grid being down and no internet. The ones that were not in local UBM couldn't communicate with the ones that were, and I knew that it was a great falling away, and not just local, but around the world. Well, true, this is a test, okay? There is a planned shutdown by the Alliance that should be relatively short to enable them to better capture deep state criminals, and we should pray for their success that this shutdown does not last. And also, people are capable now of copying teachings and audios from the site for the coming days, okay? Because the old internet is going to be wiped. That's what they're saying. And they've got a new internet to come. So if you've got something you need to save, you better do it now, okay? People could be demoralized by a physical communications disruption and possibly more lockdowns when a worse plague is released on the populations of the world by the deep state. Okay? Now don't let this bother you, and don't fear. As we know, what the Lord has told us he's going to use this for is to bring down our enemies. Yes. Well, you know, when the wicked lay a trap, they fall into it, you see. That's God's word. It will happen. And Lord said, those that curse us will be cursed. That's what he said. So this next revelation was given to Andrew Galinas on 7/10/21, and we called it Deep State Smashes the Phones to Avoid Exposure. Well, in this dream, it was nighttime. I believe this is representing the spiritual darkness that is covering the earth and will get increasingly darker for the short run. I watched a small news crew approach a leftist deep state man on the walkway of his home. The news crew equipment cases were levitating and following right behind them. Well, we know that the Alliance is about to take over the media from the deep state, who have lost all their main satellites. And this new satellite system is going to be a little bit miraculous and give you opportunities even to use your phone in ways that you never have. As I observed this curiosity of the levitating equipment cases, I thought to myself, this technology would have been unbelievable for me or anyone else to imagine only a little while ago. Now it's just a normal part of everyday life. Well, the Starlink satellite network, which has been put up and is something like 4,500 satellites in low Earth orbit, is replacing the fewer number of satellites that are in outer orbit, further out orbit, which are basically owned by the deep state, okay? So this new satellite system is run by the Trump military and is present with everyone, and it is highly technical. It will be linked to smartphones and will follow us by GPS. You say, well, is that a good thing? Well, on the short run, yes. On the long run, no. I've told you that as we go down this road, we've got to part from the world system. One beast that follows the last beast, right? Then one of the reporters held up a smartphone to the man and asked, what do you have to say about this? Well, he didn't hold up a camera with the mic, did he? He just held up his smartphone. And so it went right with them everywhere they went, right? They were showing him irrefutable proof about everything he and the deep state had been doing in the shadows all along. Well, this is D-class, folks. Trump and the Alliance have been slowly leaking and dripping out information to the public for about a year now, and more of the deep state evils are being exposed to the masses, who are finally waking up and beginning to take a stand against the deep state in protests and lawsuits. And wow, you know, it's just, you know. The man leered at the screen, scanning it in irritation for a few seconds. Then he abruptly ripped the phone from the reporter's hand and angrily hurled it down at the concrete in dramatic fashion as he stormed back into his house and slammed the door. Yep, that's them. That's the faction. Well, the deep state is furious and desperate that they are losing their witchcraft grip on the world, and they are planning a worse attack or plague to be unleashed on the masses in order to regain control and carry out their depopulation plans for humanity. Mike Adams has an interesting podcast here I'm going to link to on the possibilities of deep state distractions in order to avoid the exposure of their evils. Yes, they want to bring distraction for the midterm elections, so that maybe that would be shut down, because obviously the right wing is going to run roughshod over them. So after this, the scene changed, and it was now bright and sunny. Oh, praise the Lord. And representing the coming of the man-child at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. I was standing next to my father in his yard, and we believe this is representing our Heavenly Father. He was kneeling down on one knee beside a tree stump. He had placed the wooden butt of a rifle on the center of the stump and was using a hammer and chisel to carve it up into wood chips. So the stump is being destroyed, right? The Father will destroy the stump of Babylon. Daniel 4:23-26. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, "Hew down the tree and destroy it, nevertheless leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him." And this is the interpretation, O king, it is the decree of the Most High, which is to come upon my lord the king, that thou shalt be driven from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and thou shalt be made to eat grass as an oxen, and shalt be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the roots in the tree, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou have known that the heavens do rule. Well, it could be that he, by his profession when he came back out of his trauma, belonged to a different kingdom. Yes. I then held up a piece of wood chip and sniffed it to see if it would work well for smoking meats. Then I woke up. Well, this, I believe, represents the wood, hay, and the stubble that are burnt up in the fiery trials to purify God's people and cleanse the church of Babylonish impurities. And Matthew 3:7-12 says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Uh-huh. Entitled people, because they've stepped over the line and confessed Jesus at one time, but they won't confess him now. That's the problem. And even now, verse 10 goes on to say, the axe lieth at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. Okay, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And now we know that the man-child ministry that is coming, in whom Jesus lives by his word and by his spirit, is once again going to baptize with the Holy Spirit, but this time it's the latter rain. History repeats on larger scales as time goes by. That's because there's more people involved, right? And then we got this revelation we call the beast devours communications. Apostasy reveals too much flesh. And this was given to Claire Pinar, 6/30/21. I dreamed I was in a large body of water. And we think this represents peoples, nations, and tongues, as Revelation says. I needed to lure a polar bear, and we believe that this is representing the beast, out of the water. We bait the beast in people by being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So she was trying to lure that bear out of the water, out of the peoples, right? Tribes and tongues. I looked down into the murky water all around me, and it was like a lake or a dam. And then I realized I was in open water, but there was no polar bear there. He'd already been caught and put into an Olympic-sized pool. And in the next instance, I was in that same pool. Okay, so the bear's been caught. And he is caught. They've got everything on him. He's not totally immobilized yet, but it's happening. So, but Father is sovereign over the beast and already has him contained to do his will in the earth among the nations and peoples. Remember, it's the Lord who raised up the beast, and in every case throughout history, it was because God's people had rebelled against him. And the beast was raised up by God. He always took credit for this, and he brought them against his people to bring them to their cross, which they have heretofore refused. Well, we're in the world, but we're not of it, right? We need to keep that in mind. Even the political world. It was my job to give the polar bear my phone to chew on. Well, this represents sacrificing our fleshly communications of the beast, whether it's from our own mouths or our own devices. The bear loved phones. Well, we know that the deep state beast in the waters of mankind loves phones so that they can keep track of everybody and have all intelligence to control everything. Okay, but they're about to lose all of this. Okay. I was now quite fearful, as I thought maybe the bear was getting hungry, and swam towards the bear, and my phone flipped out of my hands. She was, of course, going to give it to the bear, right? But it flipped out of her hands, and I thought, oh no, how will I find it? The concern was not for my phone, but that without it, the bear would want to eat me instead. This is kind of what's happening. The deep state beast has no intelligence to control us, rob us, make war with us, without their brain box with us. That's his phone. And in losing this, they have decided to depopulate us. Kind of like in this revelation, you know. Through their intelligence, they're able to decide who they want to purge from society. Right? Remember, Obama put out the free phones. They want everybody to have a phone. Everybody want to be in contact with everybody, right? But on another vein, the beast of our flesh will devour us without us sacrificing our fleshly desires upon the altar. The corporate body of the beast will devour all those who are not sanctified from the world and its ways and fleshly communications. I've often joked about throwing my GPS-connected phone onto the back of a southbound semi going south, right? In other words, okay, follow me out there, you know. Then he says, but then I clasped the phone between my knees, she said, and gave it to the bear very quickly. Well, let me say, a new phone is coming out that's been pushed by the Alliance because it is connected to the military's new satellite system. And the deep state made money off of the old phones, but the new phones will free us from them, okay? Again, down the road, yeah, find the semi and throw it on there, you know. Right now, okay. And on another vein, again, we capture our flesh and its communications by humbling ourselves in prayer and intercession. Someone, have you seen that so many people get somewhere and they still feel self-conscious? They whip out their phone and they're right there on their phone all the time, all the time, all the time. You know, no, it's better to leave the thing at home sometimes, you know. He spoke to me in a Russian or European accent and thanked me. Well, I believe it's European because, let me tell you, the Russians are allies in this war against the deep state. Putin was warring against the deep state and throwing them out of his country before Trump came on board. Okay. The U.S. Military is hunting down the deep state elite, and they're fleeing the country. And they're using burner phones to be able to communicate with one another because, you know, that's the only way they can do it with have some semblance of ability, you know. And so they're fleeing the country, and many are going underground, as you will hear. Many to Europe because that's a hot base for the elite. I swam all the way back to the entry point of the pool with this bear happily chewing on my phone, swimming behind me like a puppy, and then I woke up. Well, we need to pray for the success of the new satellite phone system, which in the short run will help us. And in the long run, it's all going back to the beast, and we'll have to forsake it, okay? I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, she said, for this dream, and received Psalm 126 and 1 with my finger on the Lord. In context 1 and 2. When the Lord brought back those that returned to Zion, we were like them that dream. Oh, yes, yeah. Returning to Zion, returning to the real true leadership of God's people, returning to the promised land where we stand on the promises of God. This is what God wants, and this is what God will have for the righteous. You know, our Cyrus is making it possible with our prayers for us to return to Zion and rebuild. Yes, we are helping him to bring this to pass. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. Amen. God's going to turn things around for God's truly holy elect, right? I asked about the polar bear and the iPhone, and I received by faith at random 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. And here it is. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Well, if you remember, the instructions that Jehoshaphat received was to send the praisers out first, which is basically celebrating the victory. Halal, luyah, means praise ye the Lord. So halal is to brag on the Lord. What are we bragging on the Lord for? We're bragging on the Lord for what he has already done. Read Jeremiah 50 and 51. And you will see he has already destroyed Babylon. And because the things that have been are the things that shall be, right? So he put the praisers out front, which divided the enemy's armies so that they killed each other off and let the bride Jerusalem alone. Oh, praise be to God. So remember that. Praise and give thanks to God for the victory that he has given us. All these prophetic words that we have received have to be believed, just like the words in the Bible have to be believed, so that we can see these things come to pass. Amen. I also received by faith at random Micah 3 and 2 with my finger on flesh in context 1 through 4. And I said, Hear, I pray ye, ye heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them and break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot, as flesh within the cauldron. Well, the predators among God's people are running around calling themselves apostles and prophets and even pastors and teachers. And there are multitudes of them, far more than there are righteous, right? And they're just plundering God's people, devouring God's people. Then shall they cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. Yes, these apostates and liars will not be heard. He will hide his face from them at that time, according as they have wrought evil in their doings. And we know that the beast, just as in history, will destroy the apostate leadership, except those who repent, right? All is vanity, she says, it seems. But those who run after the Lord and confess him will be protected in the secret place of the Most High. I agree, 100%. Okay, this is Winnie Asequeda, 8221. And she got, we called it, Large Trees Taken Out by the Storm. Yes. You know who we think the giants are, right? They're the mixed multitude, right? Crossbreeds, right? They're big in the world, but little in the kingdom. Chuck's alarm woke me at 5 a.m., and I decided to get my verse by faith at random for the morning prayer meeting, and I opened to Deuteronomy 25 and 19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget. These are the backstabbers that tried to take them down when they came out of Egypt, you know. And God said he was not going to forget what they did. Well, notice that standing in the land of promise brings rest from our enemies. It's the place where God conquers our enemies. We stand on the promises of God, right? I went back to sleep and dreamed there was a storm outside and quite a few trees had fallen. Chuck told me that they had to be moved off to the side so that we were able to drive through. And we went to go look. Well, amen. They're in the way. Not on the way. They're in the way. Okay. Let's see. Well, trees represent people or corporate bodies of people in the Bible. And in this case, the evil leadership of the deep state government and the apostate church. You know, Zechariah 11, 1 through 3 says, "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Wail, O fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the goodly ones are destroyed. Wail, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the strong forest is come down. A voice of the wailing of the shepherds, for their glory is destroyed. A voice of the roaring of the young lions, for the pride of the Jordan is laid waste. A judgment upon those wicked people," the big trees, right? Or what the world thinks is the big trees, right? "I was surprised because I thought they were strong trees. They were able to withstand the storm. I don't remember the storm being that bad at all. However, some of the trees were so broken that there were huge pieces of wood laid out on the road, including the large bottom portion of the trunks where the trees were cut off. They were moved to the sides of the road so that we would be able to drive through the middle, which was narrow." Amen. Yes, God is going to remove these culprits, these plunderers of God's people, these devourers of God's people. Father is sending the storm to move these trees out of the way so that God's people can pass through on the narrow path of righteousness again. Zechariah 11, 4 through 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men every one into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them." Okay. So those who are taking advantage of God's people, deceiving God's people, they will be removed. There were different types of trees that, with different colored leaves that most people might consider to be beautiful. The leaves were very bright, and some were even pink. They looked like the trees in a Dr. Seuss book, which made me think of the worldly philosophical wisdom that Dr. Seuss books usually contain. Well, many people are in love with their beautiful church buildings and the ear-tickling doctrines of the apostate church leadership, but God is weary of them, and he is about to cut them off. Zechariah 11, 7 through 9 says, "So I fed the flock of slaughter, verily the poor of the flock, and I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty and the other I called bands. And I fed the flock, and I cut off the three shepherds in 1 month, for my soul was weary of them, and their soul also loathed me." Now they would not have said that with their mouth, but by their actions it's known. Then said I will not feed you. That which dieth, let it die, and that which is cut off, let it be cut off. And let them that are left eat every one the flesh of another. Yes, it's just like the deep state when they get called on the carpet. They start ratting on one another, devouring one another. You know, they get so much information from these criminals about their, you know, previous friends, you know. And anyway, well, this reminds me of Brandy's dream of a remnant of apostate megachurch leaders who will be humbled and return to the true gospel. The message of the sons of David in the Davidic man-child ministries in these end times. Amen. And then the scene changed, and I was in my home and had a huge baby boy wrapped in a sky blue colored blanket that I was caring for and sheltering from the storm. He began to cry a bit when I tried to lay him down, so I picked him up to console him. Well, I believe Winnie here represents the first fruits bride who gives birth to the huge baby boy representing the corporate body of the man child in whom Jesus will epiphany or shine forth from. And we have to grow weary of carrying the man child and be tempted to lay him down. We should not be tempted to lay him down, or lose our fruit by grieving his Holy Spirit. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards all men, especially towards them that are of the household of the faith." Amen. Amen. Our home was inside a huge tree that was not affected by the storm in any way. Now, you remember another huge tree of Babylon that was taken down, right? Well, this is a huge tree that's the opposite of that one. This tree was hidden amongst all the other trees, so you wouldn't think that there was a house inside. We had a door on the right side of the tree where we were able to enter. Well, I believe that this huge tree is our true family tree, right? All the saints or sanctified ones of God. And the righteous enter this house through the door, which is Jesus. And when we abide in Christ, who is the secret place of the Most High, we are hidden from the storms of the enemy and of judgment. Thank you, Father, for doing that. I had other children at the home with me, my nephews Izzy and Junior. They were outside with umbrellas, and I ushered them into the house. Izzy was in his undergarments and needed to put more clothes on. Well, Izzy is a common nickname for Israel, meaning God contends or one who struggles with God, right? Or also Isaac, which means one who laughs. And I believe Junior represents Judah, meaning praise. He represents the full gospel people. And the others who didn't have the temple at Jerusalem, the northern 10 tribes, they were the non-full gospel people because the Holy Spirit wasn't in them, right? So he is fully clothed. Praise is fully clothed with all the garments of praise. And he is a junior because he looks like the father, right? And Izzy represents this northern 10 tribes of Israel that factioned away from David's kingdom. And they are many times scoffers who laugh and contend with God and with the come-outers, right? And Izzy represents a remnant of modern-day Christianity who need to put on more clothes or the robes of righteousness. And they're under an umbrella because they have not yet received the reign of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So some people, they're against that. They want to be sheltered from that. They think that that's bad. Their religions have told them this reign of the Holy Spirit is bad, you know. And don't go to Jerusalem, where, of course, the presence of God is. Stay over here and worship the golden calf, right? That's bad over there. Don't go over there, right? So they will repent in order to come into the true house of God. God has promised to restore them after their chastening. Amen. I woke up with the song, The Lion of Judah, playing in my spirit, specifically on the verse, Who can stop the Lord Almighty? I like that song. It's awesome. Only we can stop the Lord. For he has said, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. He has delegated his authority, you see. We can give it to the devil. Adam did. Jesus could not do many mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. So you see, we can bind God because God's made promises and he's made guarantees and he's made threats that he can't go back on, right? Okay, so when he delegates your authority, be careful how you use it. When I woke up, I shuffled my playlist of scriptures by faith and asked Father for a word for this dream and received Proverbs 21:2-3. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Yes, some people want to make up for the evil things they do by sacrificing. That won't work. God won't receive it. I inquired again of the Lord and opened my concordance by faith at random to Jeremiah 22:9. In context, 8-10. And many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say, every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? Then they shall answer, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. I defy you to look at the non-full gospel groups out there who say it's all passed away and removed the real covenant of God from their worshipers. Yeah. That's another Jesus there. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. Yes, there's a great falling away. It's happened, and everybody has to repent and cling to Scripture to be saved. You have to go back to the covenant that's in the Bible. Don't let men tell you any of it passed away. Men? Yes, that's what they do. That's a demonic doctrine. Okay, so here's a revelation given to Brandy Arney on 4:4:16. And the factious house is swept away. I was driving downhill on a dirt road in the mountains, And I stopped to wait for a following car that was full of friends to catch up. I looked below, and further down the road I saw a group of 9 cars that were stopped in a gully, and they were headed towards me. It was 3 rows of 3 cars. Well, as we will see, these 9 cars represent the factious Esaus who hate their brethren, and they make no progress to climb the mountain of God, and they live in the gully. Their final storm of judgment is coming, and it will be swift. In general, the number 9 is the largest and last digit correlating finality and completeness. The number of finality or judgment is committed unto Jesus as the Son of Man. John 5:27 and Acts 17:31. It marks the end and the issue of all things pertaining to man, and the judgment of man and all of his works. Okay, there were 9 judgments of God in Haggai 1:11, which are enumerated as follows. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Further insight into the number 9 emerges from the 9th commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Mm-hmm. That's their problem. And there were 9 people mentioned in the Bible who were stoned, and also 9 instances mentioned about people being blind or blinded. Mm-hmm. That's what's happened to them. I looked up to the left, and I noticed that there was a flow of water headed down towards the cars through the trees. Well, as we have seen, God will use the plans of the leftist deep state criminals to bring judgment on the apostate factious leaders and their reprobated followers who live in the gully, right? Now, if they thought about this, the leftist deep state would not come against these people who are their allies, actually. But God is going to cause this. Okay. I looked back quickly to see if my friends were coming, and then I looked back to the 9 cars, and I saw that the back 6 cars were completely washed away, and the remaining 3 in front were threatened by the growing water. Well, in our morning prayer meeting for 11-14-21, we received this text by faith at random concerning the faction house being swept away. Luke 6:46-49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Every one that cometh unto me and heareth my words and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock, which is Jesus, right? And when a flood arose, the stream brake against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well builded. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built a house upon the earth without a foundation, which is Christ and the Word, right? Against which the stream brake, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. So, then Brandy said, I looked at my phone to call emergency services for a rescue, but my phone had a black screen. Oh, there it is again. And a large white triangle, an exclamation mark, that told me it was not working. Oh, so now we know the timing of this wiping away, right? So in the natural, the deep state plans to take down the grid for their own evil purposes as part of their dark winter. And we have heard that the Alliance also has plans to take down the communications to disable the deep state and to bring online a new internet that is purged of the grossest of evil. Either way, the wicked will not be able to be saved from this judgment that has been ordained upon them by God. I realized that it was too late to help the ones that had been washed away anyway. I looked back to the scene and saw the last three cars were gone as well. Okay. I looked back up the hill where I had come from and saw that there was water going down the opposite side of the hill, exactly as it had done further down the road. And I knew I didn't have time to even get back into my truck and turn around, or I would be taken too. Amen. So I started to run up the hill to the apex to safety. And then I woke up. Well, we also received in the morning meeting that same morning, Nahum 1, 6 through 8, who can stand before his indignation? And who could abide the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that take refuge in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make a full end of her place, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. True. Another revelation given to Winnie on 9/8/21, and we called it Dead Black Bears. This morning, in a quick vision or dream, I saw several dead black bears laying on the grass. These black bears, I believe, represent our old beastly nature that once ruled over the flesh, which is the grass. And they're lying on top of the grass, representing that these people are overcomers who have crucified the beastly nature, which is what the beasts in the world would take advantage of. You know, the beast in the world has authority over the beastly. In fact, they have authority over those who take the mark of the beast, which is the works of the flesh and the mind of the flesh, where the mark is, right? Yeah. So, and according to the Word and Peter, all flesh is as grass. Yeah. And they were behind a couple of red lawn chairs, these dead bears, right? Representing entering the rest through the blood of Jesus that conquered sin and death 2,000 years ago. I was observing from in front of the lawn chairs. The lawn chairs were facing me, and the dead bears were behind them. And then I woke up. Once we have entered into the rest by faith, in the past tense promises of God, we realize that everything we need for every form of salvation has already been accomplished for us at the cross. The chairs facing Winnie are saying, enter into the rest through faith, which is where all of our provision lies. You're justified by faith. By believing the promises, every promise you believe, you are justified by that faith. Abraham believed God for a son, and he was justified by that. And you can believe God for all things, anything God has promised you to, and you're accounted righteous every time you believe it. Okay, so don't let the devil tear you loose from the promises of God, because then you're not on the promised land. You're not standing on the promises, right? I asked the Lord for a chapter after I woke up and I received Ephesians 4 and 32. However, I believe it's the whole chapter because that's what I specifically asked for. And after the Wednesday Bible study, I again asked the Lord for a chapter and again received Ephesians 4. And it reminds me of Vanessa's dream regarding Ephesians 4. And it's located in obey and love or be separated, 1 and 2. Okay? So, wow, with so many good confirmations of this Ephesians 4, I think we'll just read it. 1 through 32. And 32 is the text you received. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So be careful what you do to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me, Jesus said, right? Continuing, verse 7. But unto each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, so we all have a portion of Christ, right? And wherefore, he saith, when he ascendeth on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, now, of course, the preachers don't want you to have those gifts, so be careful. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. You know, we're baptized into the spiritual earth, the water, which is the word of God, and the word puts to death the old man so that we come up a resurrected Christian, and we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Isn't this interesting? Okay. Verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And make sure that you haven't claimed one of these positions on your own. This is not something that men can do. If you do this, you will bring destruction on you. Yeah. Till we all attain unto the unity of the faith. That is, the true preachers are there to do for this purpose. The unity of the faith. And, of course, they're out there dividing up the body with little problems here and things here that they think are enormous. But actually, they are the factious ones. They're dividing up the body, right? And, of course, this is for the purpose of bringing us all into the unity of the faith. This is what God wants. Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And men have been dividing ever since. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Yes, that's what these ministers should be passing on. Unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, what short-circuited this was these false apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, right? That we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. But speaking truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth according to the working in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Amen. So be careful you're not standing in the way, because this is what God told us the deep state and their plague is going to take down. Those people who are hindering the kingdom of God, even while they claim to be apostles, prophets, and so on and so forth, right? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. You see, friends, we need knowledge. We need the light of the Lord in our innermost beings. And people out there who claim to be teachers but are not, are just moralizing people and not telling them the real good news of the gospel. These are hindering the kingdom, even while they moralize you, you know, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness. That's a license to excess. That's why you see so many prosperity preachers excessing on everything, you know. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus. It is the word, right? That you put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Yep, you Judases out there. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. Okay. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Amen. Okay, Marie Kelton on 7/26/21 received this. There is safety from the storm in the school of death to self. Yep, dead men don't have anything to fear. I dreamed I was in a school walking with three white girls down some stairs, representing humbling ourselves to the word and going down the stairs to death to self with the righteous, right? I was telling them about my experience with anorexia, how I would weigh myself a lot, and that if I weighed even a little bit over, I would not eat. Well, spiritually, this represents starving the flesh man and feeding the spirit man, right? We must constantly weigh our choices in living the crucified life, and be careful not to make choices to feed the flesh man so that he continues to live. And by the way, bring all kinds of curses on you too. So while we were walking down the stairs, we were with a large group of people. We walked past a large window pane that had three windows. I saw three orange Velcro cords hanging from the windows. All I saw were the cords. But when I asked the people around me about the cords, they said that there were three dead bodies hanging from them. Well, it's interesting that all the threes that have been mentioned in this dream, according to BibleStudy.org, Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest, and he was placed on the cross at the third hour of the day, 9 a.m., and he died on the ninth hour, 3 p.m., and there were 3 hours of darkness that covered the land while Jesus was suffering on the cross, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, and 3 is the number of resurrection. And Christ was dead for 3 full days and 3 full nights. There are 27 books in the New Testament, which is 3 times 3 times 3, or completeness to the third power. So, the people around me started taking pictures of the dead bodies hanging from the windows. Well, the people around us see our physical witness of the crucified life, and they're impressed, and they take note, right? And as I looked a second time while continuing to walk down the stairs, I still couldn't see the dead bodies, only the cords. Well, and I think this is because we only see and understand the method, which is submission to the Word of God. We don't see the bodies because we understand that this is a school of spiritual death to self. What do we see in the mirror? 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We have to constantly remember that. Don't look at the old man. Don't look at death. Get your eyes on the new man that is yours, given to you. I walked into the library, which was a dark brown color because everything was made of wood. It made me think of the library that was in my high school. Well, the library is made of wood because we are studying the way of the cross, right? I went looking for a sister in the library because I wanted to tell her what the Lord did for me by allowing me to see the three dead bodies hanging, by not allowing me to see the three dead bodies hanging from the windows. And when I found her, I told her what the Lord did for me. But she didn't want to hang out with me because she was hanging out with other people. Well, you know, birds of a feather flock together, don't they? Yeah. We aren't supposed to focus on our old dead nature in the mirror. When we focus on the Word and His promises, the Lord helps us to see Him in the mirror by faith. And many times people who are caught up in worldly lusts will reject our testimonies because it would convict them of their sins. And they would have to repent and give it all up. And they don't want to do that, right? Scares them. And some of them even turn to criticism against you because of that. You're convicting them of their worldly ways. The scene changed, and we were in this room that was all white with a lot of people. There were some other people playing outside of the school. I saw an Asian guy whom I knew this sister was dating. The Asian guy, we believe, represents Satan, the dragon, and the harlots who worship him, right? open the doors to the outside. And when there are idolaters in our midst, they open the doors for judgment to threaten us. We've had dreams about that. Wicked, factious people keeping the door open so that the faction could attack us, right? Yeah. Then he roared like a lion, and a big cloud streamed out of his mouth. I knew there was a storm coming from that cloud. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Revelation 12:15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. Mm-hmm. It started to rain really hard, and people had been playing outside of the school, started to run towards the all-white room we were in to get out of the rain. Sounds like they're running from a judgment, right? And I believe this represents the judgments that God is bringing that will cause many to repent and turn towards the safety of sanctification. And a great revival will come. There will be no protection for people who are out there sinning in the world, right? Repent quickly. Run to the Lord, right? Then all of a sudden it became sunny, and I saw Obadiah, which means servant or worshiper of the Lord, who was in the room, run outside with other little children to go play in the sun. SUN/SON, right? Ecclesiastes 11:7 says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Amen. Well, this represents Matthew 4:16, speaking of the appearing of Jesus in his man-child ministers during the former and the latter rain outpouring. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. So the man-child Jesus brought light to people who were in darkness. And it was the people of God in darkness, right? I saw Angelica representing the angels, right? And I knew she was watching Obadiah and the other little children. And then I woke up. Hebrews 1:13-14 says, but of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, they are. Okay, and then we got a revelation from Marilyn Klink, 11:16-21. And we called it Looking at the Cross Heals Our Double Vision. Amen. We need an eye that is single, don't we? Amen. I had the following dream early this morning. I wasn't sure if it was just for me or not. And when I cast lots about sending it in, I received 3 heads. So here it is. I dreamed that I was living in the state of Massachusetts. Well, that's taken from the Native American language, meaning at the Great Hill, representing, I believe in this case, Mount Zion, right? Massachusetts is on the East Coast. Ezekiel 44:1-3 speaks of Jesus entering through the eastern gate of Jerusalem when he returns. I was attending a university there. She has representing studying the meat of the deeper spiritual truths that lead to greater maturity in Christ. Amen. I was driving a car with Barry, representing Jesus, my spiritual husband, she said, sitting in the passenger seat. In real life, I have not driven in over 20 years because of double vision and other visual weaknesses. There are a lot of people with spiritual double vision. They're like distractions to draw them away from the purpose of God for them. It's a good exhortation to seek first the kingdom and all other needs will be met, and to have the eye that is single. In other words, totally on the things of the kingdom, right? And as I was looking out the windshield straight ahead, I saw a huge cross that was about 50 feet high. Could be representing Pentecost, 50, right? Which is filled with the Spirit. And Jubilee, which is also the 50th. Freedom from bondage, right? Sounds good, doesn't it? A huge cross, 50 feet high. In the sky and the clouds behind it. The cross was bright, shining, and very thin, like it was made of two very straight knife blades. Aha! Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. That's why you need the Word of God to give you discernment. Amen. As I was looking at the cross, I realized that I could see almost perfectly, and there was almost no double vision. Well, praise the Lord. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Amen. And that was the end of a dream. I received by random Acts 9:18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Amen. Also, last night before falling asleep, I was listening to the 1 hour UBBS Humility Brings Faith and Power, Part 1. I have listened to this series on humility a number of times through the years, but it really hit home last night, as Father has been dealing with me so much about not judging or criticizing anyone for anything. And this study focuses so much on pride, and I know that criticism and judging are rooted in pride. Yep, true. So Vanessa Weeks got this revelation, 10:14:21, removing the threat of death from God's chosen. I dreamed that I was in a large room and some of the walls were light blue. And she says, representing some Christians who abide lightly in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This was a gathering place for a 7-day Trump rally. And this was the 7th day. Well, that's, of course, a day to cease from the works of man. Amen. We pray that they will draw people to pray. I'm talking about the Trump people. Draw people to pray. Put their trust in God, not all their self-efforts. I saw many white tables set up with a few people sitting at them, and I realized that as the week had gone by, there were less and less people attending. Well, President Trump's table was at the front, and he was sitting there facing his supporters and speaking to them. I was standing to the right of his table and looking at some flower bouquets wrapped in cellophane. These were all different colors and types of flowers, and I asked the Lord for a word about the flowers and received by faith at random Lamentations 1 and 15, in context 14 to 15. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are knit together, they are come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fail. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, against whom I am not able to stand. The Lord hath set at naught all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called a solemn assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. And she said, my thought on this is that flowers are placed where people die, as in crush my young men. President Trump was telling his supporters what would turn things around in this country. He was encouraging them and telling them what they could do. As I heard this, I was thinking that it was not enough. There needed to be 100 times the people to overcome the deep state. Well, my thought was, because of what followed, or the man-child can push the Trump agenda through. And I believe that's going to happen, because the 100 times here may represent the 100-fold fruit of the man-child ministry. It will bring great authority into the world. Matthew 13 and 23. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And of course, that was 1 out of 4. The other 3 fell away. And while he was still speaking, I sat at his table to his right, and there was a space between us. Well, I believe it could be that Trump is getting separated more from his constituency as time passes. You know, his message is wearing off, okay? There should be a separation between us and the political world, she said. This is true. You know, we should understand that our relationship is with God. On the table in front of me was a cardboard table tent with some words written in black ink and a black spot in the middle. Well, Barry, her husband, said this. He said, these are the cardboard triangle-shaped advertisements which are often used in restaurants. The black spot reminded us of an old pirate movie, Treasure Island, in which if a man was handed a paper with a black spot, he was destined to die. So this sounds like a death threat. Well, Trump's constituency is under a death threat by the deep state plagues, right? They're trying to wipe them out, even as they themselves are getting wiped out. That's God, right? Then President Trump moved to the right to be right next to me. That sounds like a good thing. Moving closer to his constituency, maybe. And as he did this, he thumped with his right hand the table tent with the black spot away from me. Well, this, of course, was saving the constituency from the deep state death threat. And this reminds me, she said, of Isaiah 45, because God called President Trump as a Cyrus. Yeah, and to save his people from deep state Babylon, too. So he called President Trump as Osiris for the sake of Israel, his chosen. Isaiah 45:1 says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him." And it is happening, folks. It is happening. "And I will loose the loins of kings to open the doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth, and I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness." He's getting those. "And hidden riches of secret places." He's getting those. "That thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my chosen, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." All this time he continued speaking to his supporters, and then he looked directly at me and said, "But that's your job, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes," but I did not know what he meant or what my job was. Then I woke up. Well, we've been told that the man-child is coming to help push Trump's agenda through, and that we should pray and do warfare for this to happen. Okay? We need to pray the people into prayer, so to speak, into spiritual warfare. We need to pray. And I asked the Lord what my job was, and received by faith at random Matthew 12:11. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be of you that shall have one sheep, and if this fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" My finger was on Sabbath day. And in this dream, it was the seventh or the Sabbath day. So this is an exhortation, folks, to cease from our works on God's Sabbath and pray Trump's agenda through. Would you rather have the opposite? Well, the Lord is warning us to cease all our frivolous activities and pray and do warfare to bring this to pass. I asked the Lord what he wanted to say about this dream, and received by faith at random 2 Chronicles 17:17. In context, 17 through 19. "And of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 armed with bow and shield, and next to him Jehozabad, and with him 84,000 ready prepared for war. These were they that waited on the king, besides those whom the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah." Again, this is an exhortation for the faithful people of God to do warfare to strengthen the king and to bring this to pass. And of course, we're talking about Cyrus Trump. Pray his wisdom, his stamina, the people that are with him, that join together as a great army to bring down Babylon, right? Which is what happened. "My finger was on Benjamin" in verse 17. I looked up the meaning of 17 in the Bible on the internet, and it means overcoming the enemy and complete victory. Also, Benjamin means the son of the right hand. Amen. After I had this dream, on the same day in that morning prayer meeting, Don received by faith at random 48:10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord negligently, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Okay, so the people of God are being negligent in spiritual warfare to bring down the forces of Satan and bring back the king. Let everyone stop their trivial lifestyles and immediately begin to fight and to intercede for the promise of Cyrus to come to pass. Amen. And then she says, Father, I ask you to help us do our warfare by your Spirit so you will turn things around in this country. Thank you that you remove the threat of the death that the enemy has for your chosen through President Trump. Yes, indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, of course, that if Babylon won this battle, that the first ones they're going to come after is the Christians. They hate the Christians because they're Satanists. They hate the Christians. They only tolerate them to keep things going so they can continue to make money, so they can continue to plunder the people and so on, right? And so Marie Kelton on 11/1/21 got this revelation that we call the Lord is teaching us how to fight. During the meeting at night, I had a vision that the Lord was teaching my spiritual man how to fight. And while I was looking at the vision, I asked the Lord about spiritual warfare, and the Lord turned from teaching my spiritual man and smiled and said, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. If you don't personally stand, what good are you going to be towards turning the situation around in the government and the world? Right? So, and of course, even after we have put on this whole armor of God, we have to go to fight in the battle. We need to decree the victory of Cyrus over Babylon. We need to send the destruction of Satan's deep state kingdom, as per Jeremiah 50:51. It's already declared that it will be destroyed. So, but God has a method to doing things, and his method is sending his people to do it. He uses their prayers and their warfare and so on to do these things. And here's a word from Deb Horton, 8:1:21. All things are possible to them that believe. Okay. So believe it, confess it, you know. When you pray, believe you have received, Jesus said. So, my verse for the morning meeting, given through faith at random, on 8:1:21, was Matthew 12:44-45. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. So Jesus was there casting out demons, right? And he was telling them that this is what's going to happen to you. Well, just as these people lost everything that they gained through the ministry of Jesus because they didn't continue in faith and repentance to fill their temple with himself and his word, so it could be now. We need to continue to fight the good fight of the faith until the end, right? I dreamed all night that I was in Jeff and Sandy's house, but only recall a snippet. David was sitting on a plain wooden chair at a plain medium-sized wooden table, and he was studying a book that was opened on the table, taking notes and writing on a pad. And there was a mellow, comforting light in the room, but I don't know where it was coming from, and the room doesn't exist at the house in real life. I walked into the room and just sat down in the chair next to David without saying anything, and I waited. After a while, he looked up over at me and asked me a hypothetical question based on what he was studying. And I can't recall the entire question, but it began, "Do you think it's possible that, or do you think it's possible to?" I thought about it for a bit, and then I happily said yes. March 9 and 23, and Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth." And Mark 10 and 27, Jesus looking upon them saith, "With men it is impossible," including Trump, "but not with God. All things are possible with God." So we must exercise our faith and believe in the prophecy of Cyrus, among others, to bring all this to pass. When I woke up and looked at the clock, it said 4:44 a.m. "And Jesus came in the fourth watch," she said. Well, let me say that gematria equivalents in Hebrew for 4:44 are "God came to earth" and "the time has come" and "Iesus," which is Greek for Jesus, and "the snake has been beheaded," meaning the deep state Babylon has already been conquered. My bedroom clock automatically adjusts itself with every clock change, but gains a minute each time, and it's currently 7 minutes fast. So then I went into the kitchen to write this down at the table, and after I was done, I looked at the clock on the microwave, which also said 4:44. That's two witnesses. Well, by random computer, Lord, would you please give me a verse for this dream? 1 John 5:12. "He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son hath not the life." Okay, how awesome. Well, I hope this has encouraged you to get into prayer and faith now. This thing is dragging out because Trump is losing the attention of the people. They think everything is okay, and they're going back to their worldly, you know, things. And God is saying, no, you must pull back from that. You must do spiritual warfare. You must believe what you say and believe your prayers. Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them." All things whatsoever. What does that leave out? Nothing. So you must believe you have received. All things are possible to him that believeth. Believe you have received. Pray and believe. Now, the worldly church cannot do this because they're worldly minded. And this is just craziness to them. But this is what Jesus said. He's teaching us how to walk in the Spirit. He's teaching us how to war in the Spirit, believing we have received. And the worldly church is no good in any of this, so it's up to us, right? It's up to us who believe Jesus and believe his word and are not departing from his covenant, which is his word. So we must be diligent to do this warfare. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I put my faith with my brethren out there, and we declare and we decree success for President Trump in bringing down the deep state and bringing those criminals to justice and bringing down the factions in the church and in the government, bringing down these evil people who have destroyed and plundered this planet and who have brought many wars to make money off of and killed the populations while the populations paid Pfizer and these groups, Moderna, to kill them. And of course, who owns these? Well, we know the deep state does. And so, and now they want to up the ante a little bit with a stronger, worse plague, as we've already talked about. And the Lord says he's going to use this to take down the people he wants to bring down. Oh, Lord, we thank you for victory in this regard. We thank you that your enemies cannot stand before you, and they can't stand before us because you live in us. And they will not be victorious over us because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us, thou shalt condemn. Okay. Lord, we thank you for this. We send confusion into the camp of the witchcraft of the deep state and the faction. We send confusion into their camp. And all the weapons that they throw at us are thrown back at them, as the Lord showed us in a dream. They're thrown back. They're reaping what they have sown. The deep state in the church and the deep state in the world are both the same, and they have the exact same demons. And Lord, thank you for granting your elect among all of the apostates repentance and faith towards you. We believe, Lord, your word when you say that you're going to bring them back and you're going to bring them out from among the peoples and the nations and bring them to Zion. Oh, praise be to God. Lord, you've given us the victory already. You've delivered us out of the power of darkness already. You've given us authority over all the power of the enemy already. And we have the authority to do this. Therefore, we are the most guilty when this resurgence and this revival in the political realm is failing. We are the most guilty because we are the ones that have the authority. Yes, the authority has been given to all those who respect the covenant, but most do not respect the covenant, and that's why the beast is rising up to judge them. Because they have broken the covenant. Thank you, Father, for restoring your people to the covenant that is so supernatural it brings Christ in them. The real gospel. Thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the angels going forth to be round about Trump and patriots, because God is using them to bring in this new kingdom and bringing down the old, which in the short run is going to be really good news for us, because they have a plan to destroy Christianity. And they will begin again to execute this plan in the middle of the tribulation period, because the church itself will be ready to be tested. And it will need to be weeded. And we know that that's what persecution does. It weeds the church. Takes out the tares and has nothing, no power over the wheat. Amen. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for the ultimate victory that we have received of you. Because it's already written in history. Babylon was destroyed, and so it shall be. We speak it out of our mouths. We know that you use this faith and these confidences and this confession before men to bring these things to pass. And we know that the dreams and visions you give us are to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. We know that our Lord Jesus, when he came as the man child, he spoke to them in parables, and some could not understand them. And that was good, because the Lord said, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. So therefore, Lord, we thank you for hiding these things from the wise and prudent and revealing it unto the babes, your babes. In the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for uniting your people around this cause and causing them to pray this thing through. In Jesus' name. Those who have authority because they believe the covenant can do this, because the Lord is working in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you for the victory, and we receive it now. In Jesus' name. Keep on praying, doing warfare, saints. Lay aside trivialities and go after this. Do this battle and win. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
My thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. In you.